Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Yes, it is that time, political commentary. We've got Lara Greaves on the line. How are you, Lara?
Morning. There's just stuff happening now. I mean, this is the thing, is that the weekends are full with, like, sort of policy announcements and activities and the potential for drama, but nothing quite dramatic yet. Yeah.
It's heating up, isn't it?
And it sure is, yeah.
We've got a new poll that's got some interesting findings. The two major parties at a sort of bit of a low for the first time in quite a while.
Yeah, look, they sure are. And see, this is the thing, is that it's kind of said, the media said, and TVNZ, you know, various reporters said that this is the lowest that the two major parties, like the major party combined total, so summing up Labour and National Party support, this is the lowest that they've been since the start of MMP in 1996. And, you know, 1996, what has happened at the time was people were like, ooh, exciting minor parties to vote for. Mm. And so that was kind of a low point for the major parties. And then over the years, we kind of moved back to the major parties holding a good chunk of the vote, to the point that some political scientists, Raymond Miller and Jennifer Curtin, actually, in the 2000s period, said, do we have actually a multi-party mirage? Because, in a way, we have two major parties, and then all these little minor parties with, like, one MP. Like, at one point, David Seymour sitting there by himself, you know, Peter Dunn sitting there by himself, Jim Anderton sitting there by himself. Like, a lot of these kind of quite small parties that were quite unstable in numbers. And so what we kind of see now is that actually it's looking like that Labour and National are making up a smaller proportion of the vote share. You know, the last time around, they got their kind of lowest number in a while. And so now it's like, are we just moving towards a kind of different, what political scientists call party system? You know, the way that the power between and the party vote share is distributed between parties. Are we just moving towards that? That actually the way that politics is going to operate is a bit different. That actually, you know, we're going to have these major parties, but they're not going to be a giant part of the vote share. And they actually are going to have these minor parties that are of a significant size, where those minor parties make up more of a cabinet or just have a lot more power and change policy more. I mean, that's the big question, really. And it's looking like every piece of evidence is starting to look like we're heading in that sort of direction.
Mm. It is really interesting where Opportunity Party is sitting at the moment. They're getting closer to 5%. And I've seen some really interesting whakaaro from, you know, peers and, you know, admittedly mostly from the left, a lot of whakaaro about this, because people are talking about Opportunity Party becoming the new sort of Winston, the new kingmaker. Because they say that they could go either way, which is, it seems to sort of be like riding a little bit of a centrist wave of people who are worried about politics becoming too divided, maybe? Is that where they're sitting?
Yeah, they sure are. They're sitting there in the middle, and, you know, like the thing is, they almost got to 5% in this latest poll, right? So at 4.6%, and they are going on an upward trend. And, you know, that upward trend means that people paying to Opportunity Party and to queue along their leader. And they have her on the various shows, and that's what happened last week. So, you know, that upward trend is quite important for political parties. I mean, the big question will be, like, what happens in the campaign, of course, and what happens closer to the election time. But then hitting that kind of level of support means they're more likely to end up in things like leaders' debates, be represented in other sort of points around the place, and they slowly become more of a legit in the public's eyes. Right, especially, have been saying that the media is pushing for this. And I think there's a little bit of truth in that, in terms of the fact that it's like, oh, a new entrant. Not necessarily that they're left-leaning or progressive or urban or whatever people are trying to say, well, that's just like the journalist. But it's more that, like, it's a new potential contender, a new potential contender party, which I would expect that, you know, if they were, say, like a conservative right-wing party, we think the Conservative Party, they got quite a bit of coverage as well and never got into Parliament. So, you know, I just kind of expect that this would happen when someone gets close to the 5%. And, I mean, I don't know, it's like you go and you sit and you look at their policies, and you can definitely see that their policies, which are very detailed, very much in PDF form, you know, very downloadable, that those are sitting very much more aligned with what you expect the left to be. But then there's some policies in there. They've got a similar sort of KiwiSaver policy to National. So there's some things that they could compromise on and go with the right. So it's just been really interesting to see this reaction from all of the party leaders, this idea of this new contender. Because the other thing I would add is, when you do the math, if you suddenly add opportunity to the mix of Parliament and they hit across that 5% threshold, they take 5% of everyone else's party vote and the numbers change quite dramatically. There's a possibility that the National Party would win more electorate seats than their party vote entitles them to, which creates this thing called an overhang. And so we'd have this larger Parliament. So there's some weird stuff that could happen, some weird stuff that could happen in the math as well. So that's another whole thing that it's like, I think for both major parties, you kind of want opportunity to perhaps get in so you can deal with a more centrist force. But then on the other hand, it's like it changes the math quite a bit of Parliament and throws out the establishment and thing, way things have always been, eh?
Yeah, it certainly would make for a slightly more exciting election result, perhaps, than we're used to with Winston potentially getting knocked off his high horse. It's so fascinating, that thing of a majority of people that I discuss the Opportunity Party with quite like their policy. But it's just a matter of, what would they actually get across the line? Were they to, you know, go into government with Labour versus were they to go into government with National? How much sway would they actually have? How would the Opportunities Party and ACT interact in a government together? There's so many sort of situations to think through that. I guess I wonder if, because they've got such an open strategy in terms of who they could go into government with, if that's going to end up costing them some votes because people are going to be worried about them swaying either way.
Yeah, I'm not sure what will happen there, actually. But, I mean, the reality is they're pretty close to 5% now.
Mm.
And the fact that they're getting close to 5%, generally there's this thing in the polls called the bandwagon effect. And this was one of the reasons why Winston Peters decided to ban polls about 20 years ago, because he thought that they had, a sway or influence on the public. And what kind of our history has shown a bit, and what the kind of political science academic literature shows, that when the polls start to show someone as credible, that generally people then don't have this kind of psychological effect of, oh no, I'm going to waste my vote. So they are more likely to vote for Opportunity, when they're heading close to the 5%. If we see a couple of polls of them over the 5%, I assume that will be kind of a good thing for them. That means that people will feel free to vote for them. Under former leaders, they'd gotten a lot of feedback from the public that was like, I really like your policies, but I'm not going to vote for you because it's a wasted vote, which is a little on the nose for the leader. Can you imagine hearing that from people being like, well, if more of you just been, put your big girl pants on and voted for us, then we would get over the line. It's self-defeating, whatever it is. So that was really a big issue for them, and this issue might have gone. Now, the question of, would a centrist voter, what's kind of a left-leaning voter, vote for them, and then they go with National? And with National, of course, the thing is they're going to have to go with New Zealand First or ACT as well. Like, that's just going to be the numbers, the math. They're going to need two partners. But it's the same with Labour, right? Labour's going to need more than one partner in this case, even though both sides probably hope they only need one. So you think about it, and it's like, okay, well, if you were going to vote for a minor party, and you vote for, say, you think of the left block and the right block, and you think, okay, we'll moderate them down. And the case of voting for Opportunity Party does seem like there would be that handbrake, like Winston Peters has styled himself on the handbrake, that Opportunity would be maybe a handbrake of sorts on the right or on the left. Because, the reality is, if you put someone like Opportunity Party, who's saying that they believe in Te Tiriti, they believe in Māori rights, and you put them in with ACT and New Zealand First, what are they going to compromise on? Probably not the Māori rights thing. We're probably going to see less talk about that. It's an interesting thing, and we see voters all around the world being like, hey, let's throw this in there. Let's throw Andy Burnham in there or whatever. Let's throw someone in there, do a bit of drama. Let's, throw Mamdani in there. Voters around the world, or Trump even, let's throw Trump in. People are annoyed with the status quo. And I feel like Opportunity Party are another way that voters could throw someone in there and stir it up a bit. So yeah, I'm just it's hard to not get excited. I feel like I'm part of that media commentariat that news talks you best criticizing about getting excited about opportunity parties. It's hard to not get excited about a potential new player that shakes things up but doesn't through racism, you know?
Yep.
It's like, wow.
I'm just wondering how badly Winston Peters was doing in the polls to try and ban them.
Well, you know, his whole political career, if you look at it, this is like up and down graph.
Yeah.
And the thing with New Zealand First is they tend to always underperform in the polls, so they tend to go better. The general rule is they go better on election night than they have in the polls, and so that's really why he wanted to ban them. And the idea that he was always under, you know, he was concerned when polls would say that they're 3 or 4% of them people wouldn't vote for them because they wouldn't get close to the line. So that was one of the reasons that people said that he wanted to ban polls. He actually did have a fairly complex and sophisticated argument because it was like early 2000s Winston. So yeah, it was an interesting point because, you know, we think about things like we now have this advanced voting period of 2 weeks. Should we be allowed polls in them? Is a way to kind of carry forward that argument.
So what
some people have already voted.
What do you think the likelihood of us seeing top in Parliament is? Do you have a crystal ball for us?
Well, New Zealand Herald and Mutu Research are like running this poll of polls, and they say it's 20-something% chance. Right. I don't know. I'm not the hugest fan of a poll of polls, like, because it just kind of like replicates error. Anyway, that's a whole talk for another day. But I mean, they've got a good shot. I mean, what I'm watching now is that trend line up or that trend line down across different polls, and especially across the same poll. So, like, are they going to go up now? It's a big question to me. Because it's like they might have hit their ceiling. Their ceiling might be around 5%. And then the other thing I would just keep an eye on as well is the Mount Albert race. So Mount Albert is kind of centralish Auckland. It's been held by Labor for like forever. Various Labor leaders have held it: Helen Clark, David Shearer, Jacinda Ardern, and it's still as one of their more prestigious seats. But the reality is that like the demography, the country, whatever, is changing a bit. And so last time round, Helen White almost lost it. There was a Green candidate in there that split some of the vote.
Mm.
So the question is, what will happen in Mount Albert? Because Kule Wong is running there, lives in that seat, and is running there against Helen White. And I haven't checked her. I don't know if the Green candidate's been announced yet as the national candidate. But the thing is that does look like that's going to be a tight race. The potential for vote splitting, all sorts of things could happen in that seat. So it's the other thing to watch, because that's another route for getting in for Opportunity Party. Everyone's saying they're not going to cut a deal. Opportunity Party's like, hey, we don't want a deal, because that makes us beholden to one side. But the thing is that, like, Helen White almost lost that last time round. So, like, Labor might just kind of casually half sort of not really run. You know, like, they might put in a real Paul Goldsmith-style effort. So we'll see. Hey, look, Goldsmith is running this time. He's actually actively running. I live in a region. I'm in the Tamaki Makaurau Māori electric. I live in the Epsom electric zone, and we're getting a lot of ads from Goldsmith. He's going to be door-knocking and campaigning for the seat. So this time around, he's actually going to run, but generally he's just kind of hung out and not run actively. So Seymour could win. So, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, interesting.
Things
wow.
are really heating up. I'm feeling quite charged after this conversation.
Yeah, we've pretty much run out of time. We didn't get a chance to talk about. Millie was filling me in on the crazy lighting rigs at the ACT and Labor parties over the weekend.
I mean, look, anyone can go to like ACT party event this last weekend. I think it was at Shed 10, and just look at this strange setup. I mean, it's very amusing. So I would recommend that as a thing to do.
It's kind of like an Apple launch, but like on a budget. Like one of those big kind of
like a TED Talk situation.
Yeah, it's kind of budget TED Talk. Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, look, the thing is I personally like if you're going to copy someone from overseas, perhaps, you know, don't get in people who look, get in people from his campaign, and then, you know, like that. I don't know. That would be my view, but hey, again, people can Google it, see whether they would like it to be. Campaign release to be a strange boxing ring, you know, like, you know.
Oh, it really made me laugh when I saw it. Like, immediately, I was like, oh, what? oh, cool. Well, thank you so much, Lara. Great chat as always. And we'll catch up with you next week, eh?
Yeah, thanks. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.